What's going on, y'all? This is Jerome Smith, also known as JSAK The Best, and welcome back to my favorite day of the week, Sync Music Mondays. And I got to introduce my man, brother, the man of the hour, Kyle Hunter, also known as K-Sparks. What's good, man?
God, we healthy, yes, man. Sir. We here. Man? Listen, alive and blessed, bro. Yeah. We lit, man. Y'all know what it is, financial literacy for your music. Every Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, man. Numbers is crazy. Shout out to all of y'all, man. Teach y'all how to get to the bag through music licensing. And also just highlight the latest and greatest, man. So y'all know what it is, man. But Jay, you know what it is, bro.
I need to learn some. What is today's word of the day?
Today's word of the day, man. You know, mind, body, and soul, man. The Trinity, right? So today's word of the day, straight to the gate, man. You become rich in your mind long before you become rich in your bank account. I say that again. You become rich in your mind long before you become rich in your bank account. So a lot of times when we talk about manifesting things, words have power. You got to be intentional with your thoughts, right? You know, if you could think it, you could achieve it. First, you got to believe it, and you got to put that action behind your faith. So make sure that every day, your mental fortitude, you work on that. I like to go to the gym, I work out, but at the same time, you got to work on your mental, right? So make sure your mental health is where it needs to be, and that is the word of the day.
Got a woosah.
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 Woosah, baby.
Can't let nobody irritate you or take you out of your zone.
That's it, man.
But anyway, back to business. We got a very special guest in the building. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what? I think it's only right that my man Cal introduce him. You introduce him.
I think it's only right.
Man, I feel like it's only right.
That's it, man. Yo, y'all know the vibes. Y'all know what it's hitting for, man. It's my brother. We've been doing music together for a very long time. And y'all know the name, the recognizable name, man. No other than my brother, Angelus, man. What's up, bro?
Oh, what's going on, man? What's going on, guys? How's everything? You know, it's my brother for a long time, man. Brother in arms, long time, man. Long, long time.
Definitely, man. That's my guy, man. We've been doing music for so long. And y'all know on Sync Music Mondays, man, like not only financial literacy, but we bring on artists, we bring on listeners, producers, everybody, because, you know, it's great not only for y'all to hear from us, but to hear from y'all as well, man, you know, and just first hands-on experience, you know, how you guys are doing musically, creative-wise, and everything. So, you know, Ange, for the people that might not be too familiar, you know, necessarily with who you are, man, yo, tell the people where you from, man, you know what I'm saying, like how you got started in music and all of that, man.
Yeah, man. So Brooklyn is where it's at, Brownsville and Crown Heights, forever. Started out with the Ain't a Game mixtape, when mixtapes were like a super thing, and then part two just took it, you know, to a different level. You know, the deals and everything else, and they had some comparisons, you know, vocally to Jay. And, you know, I was dope, and, you know, life kind of hit, made a, you know, a decision between, you know, raising my child on music. So I chose my child, of course. And then, you know, just kind of, I was going to say Fade to Black, that can't play on that one now. but, you know, just chilled out for a little bit. And then until, you know, my brother, you know, Case Busy was like, yo, man, you can still, you know, go out there and go do it. So, you know, I got something for that ass, you know, in December time, you know, gonna drop a couple joints, the red pill, black pill, blue pill, three different projects, you know, like 12 songs each, you know, to get my music legs under me, coming back for what's owed to me, and earn it as well. So, you know, that's the past, present, and hopeful future.
Definitely, man. And you know, you dropped a lot of gems, because just to talk about how music has progressed and how it's changed so drastically. I remember when we first started, like, mixtapes were the thing, you know, so everybody was like selling mixtapes out of the trunk of their cars. People were going to the bootleggers on Jamaica Avenue in Brooklyn, whatever, like selling the mixtapes, man. And I mean, at that time, man, like, I mean, it was crazy. Like, I remember, like, the buzz was crazy. The streets was flooded with, like, all the mixtapes that you had, man. Could you just kind of, like, I mean, just to kind of backtrack, talk about that era, because that kind of was, like, the golden era. I mean, Clue had your joint. Slay was playing. Rest in peace to DJ K. Yeah. Slay. You know what I'm saying? Slay was a real one. You know what I'm saying? That was holding it down, playing your joints, man. So how did those mixtapes really impact, like, your career at that time, man? Like, you know?
It was what the internet, you know, and streaming was for itself, because it replaced the label market of being able to put you out. You're able to do it yourself, and on top of that, the expense of, you know, you don't have to worry about licensing or a beat you may use on someone else, and you can really display your talent. And it got me to St. Louis. It got me, actually, I was all over the world, literally, like UK, I forgot, the African station had it, you know, in Africa. I was like, wow, that's crazy. You know, I was in, of course, well, Tri-State and in Atlanta, and, you know, just all over the states as well. And mixtapes, you know, people would take them, you know, they had the CDs, and they would go like, yo, I got this joint for you. So, and word of mouth was so extreme at that point in time. And it was, and I don't know if then and now was really, because now anyone can hear it, but I think the group setting, because people would take the CD and then they play it in the car and everybody be outside like, yo, you heard that? Like, yeah. So that really got it to there. And then, you know, people wanted to tangibly think that was real. So they had to actually meet me and see me like for 5 seconds. So then that even, you know, built more of the hype to actually meet me in person, to see that. And then the skill level, that really kind of blew out the way. I remember one time Slay got us, so I didn't want to be on everybody the wave of it, but I will mention something in one of my projects to him. You know, even though you have to, one day was put me. I was on the album, the Street Sweepers album. I forgot which one it was.
You was on it with Jay Mills, right? It was you, Jay Mills, a couple other people on there.
Yeah, and I was there. I met I forgot his name from Def Jam. Not Lyle. I'll remember the name. But you know, I had the whole Sony team come up, and it was a moment to let me know, like, yo, this is really, really real. But just for mixtapes. And that alone, I mean, it helps you also to learn the difference between mixtapes and songs, which, you know, also became a progression. But mixtapes, man, at that stage, man, it allowed the people, oh, you know, and for the low, you were able to get, you know.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are experiencing technical difficulties. We will be back in about 5 minutes.
Okay, I don't know what happened. Sorry, yeah. But the mixtape game, man, that helped a lot. It helped me a lot, man. Those mixtapes, man, shit. And then you didn't have to, except when, what was it, CD Baby? I forgot what it was that you print them out to. Mm-hmm. And you got those. So, you know, even just the marketing was so much easier at that point in time. So, you know, that for me helped out a great deal, you know, and getting the word of mouth out.
Yeah, definitely, man. Mixtapes, that was the thing back then. That was the standard, you know. And then, you know, things changed, things progressed with time. You know, it went from physical CDs to MP3s, right? Then from MP3s, then we got into streaming. Yeah, you know, so everything changed, man. You know, yeah, of course, man, you know. If you know, one thing I wanted to ask you, man, like, because we call this like the back to the future question, right? So, like, hindsight is always 2020, right? Like, everybody want a Monday night quarterback, right? But if you could go back in time and you can give your younger self, who was at that prime time, like some advice, like some critical advice, what are the things now looking back? Like, I know they say hindsight is 2020, but what are some of those things that you would say to your younger self? Like, yo, don't do this, do this. Because there's a lot of musicians that listen to this show, and, you know, they're always looking for gems and knowledge, and that's why we do this. So, you know, what are some critical things that not only would you have said to yourself that you feel that musicians listening to this right now can learn from?
Well, for my personally, and then I would extend to professionally, I'd have took the meeting with Jay-Z. if I could go back to my younger self and let go, and I think that would roll your pride, I'd have took the meeting. I mean, I was supposed to go, but then I was listening to other people, and I was like, nah, you know, a whole bunch of foolery, and then, you know.
I remember that too, man. Because I remember there's a lot of people in the ear like, yo, yo, Jay gonna have people from The Rock jump you. Don't go, son. Like, all kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, man.
And it was, I was like, well, I'll go. Y'all can stay. And it's like, are you crazy? I was like, what do you mean? Like, I mean, you know where I'm going. I mean, worst case scenario, I mean, you got money, but not for murder. I mean, I don't think so. You know, I would have definitely took that meeting. I think sometimes, you know, now you can do a lot of things yourself, but you don't need a lot of managers or, you know, all that. But I would say know the legality surrounding your worth. I would definitely tell myself that, you know, own your shit, right? Like your masters, your lyrics, make sure you have backups of that. You do now, like, you know, if you do or where you record at, make sure it's a trustworthy place. Make sure that you're financially literate to know what you're going to put in to your music and know how you're going to do it, right? Everything is in a marketing scheme. You're not, you know, you don't have to look at the machine, look at your talent, and then look where you're being successful. And you know, I guess make that a hard, concrete space and then expand. And I would tell myself to be, don't worry about trying different things as long as you have a solid base. Because it was really stuck in being like, you know, worrying about, you know, the hood. Like, I want to be the nicest. And if they compare me to this guy, you know, that's great. That means I must be great, you know. And at that time, you know, Jay was at the pinnacle of where a pinnacle could be, you know, till he hit. And it was, you know, it was like, yeah, you know, but, you know, still, like, you know, Jay-Z formidably was able to transcend time. And I think L too, but Jay-Z at a higher level, a different level. So I think really be open to your craft. That would be my last piece, and be open to doing something a little bit differently. But those are the 4 to 5 pieces, things that I would tell myself. And I hope artists now, you know, especially with ownership, leadership, don't be afraid to take risks. Understand that there's different people that build with you and invest with you. People that build with you, it's okay to make mistakes. But people that invest with you, you can't, because they're expecting a return. And that's business. You can't mix up friends in business. I think our relationship was the only one where, out of how many people that we knew, right? Like, our contact list was like heavy, and not a lot of people there. So don't expect those people that are there not to be there. And that's one person, maybe two, out of maybe 300 in the contact list. And just keep that circle, like, the smaller, the better. Smaller, the better. Smaller, the better. And I think that's it.
Right. That's real talk, man. Like, having that vetting process, because, you know, a lot of people will be there to celebrate the wins, but, you know, it's very few people that be there with the losses, you know. So that's definitely valid. Like, you got to pick and choose your surrounding cast very critically. So always do that. And I think too, like, appreciating the people that add value. That's one thing we always talk about, like, adding value. And value doesn't have to be attached to money. I think people make that misconception, right? It's like, oh, well, you know, this person is broke. So what? They might be broke financially, but they might be rich abundantly with knowledge, you know, to pour back into you and motivate you and encourage you. And that's what it's about, you know, sustainable relationships that add value to you. So just making sure that you pick your supporting cast very wisely, and make sure that you don't have a bunch of yes men and yes women, because those are the worst people to have around, right? It's like, you know, it's like somebody get to the bag and now there's 30 dudes around them and everybody don't want to piss them off, right? So it's kind of like, oh, just let him do what he want to do. But nah, those people that love you enough to tell you when you're wrong, you know, like, that's uh-huh. Right, that's an act of love, right? It's like the art, you know. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
You know, I'm glad music kind of changes. You can do it, a lot of it yourself, you know, but you always have that listen to your interview and people around you. But that, I mean, you know, depending on where you come from, my personal experience is, you know, like, I don't need 50, 40 dudes in the studio and telling me it's the greatest verse that I ever heard, and they just rolling up and it don't matter because they come in for the ride. You know what I mean? Like you, that entourage thing, man, and yes, man, is critical. You know what I mean? Like, I'll never forget, you know, I'm transparent to a fault and a degree. You know, when we did the Angels Hair record, when we have an AV8, I hated that record. Oh my God, I didn't know that was nothing I wanted to do, but yo, that'd be dope. And you got the people and we in the studio, we got, you know, and the atmosphere could really be tricky, man. So now I think it's a blessing too that you can kind of do it on your own. You know, you could fucking, you know, pull up Logic on your own, on your phone, or, you know, and do it in the crib and make, you know, get it professionally mixed and mastered by someone, or, you know, or put it through, I forgot the system. But yo, man, that Entourage thing is crazy. And these rappers out here, even now, like, you know what I mean? Like, the shooting and amongst themselves and the killings, it's like, wow. So the Yes Men, sometimes you got to be careful. But you even take on their drama. And then, you know, when you think about it, the older you get, like, you want to, you know, if music is like the streets, people want to be in the streets. That's not what they want to do. That's a sustainable for a moment to move forward, to be like, I don't ever want to go back. You know what I mean? Even go back to the community, make the community better. They try to. And then sometimes they end up becoming martyrs. You know, rest in peace their soul if they die, because most martyrs die. Or, you know, you can't walk or some shit. And, you know, I want to see my kids and grandkids and people grow up and see the fruits of my labor, so someone doesn't have to repeat that. So those Yes Men, sometimes what they come with or what they may tell you could fuck your whole shit up. So, you know, that's something I watch and observe and have learned. Two or three, great. Five is just making it. You know, I think whatever's your starting five, you know, and two extra for the bench. that's about it. You don't got five quarterbacks. You got two. You got one in the backup. And that's it. So I think, you know, really assess your team. And I think those Yes Men and people that will be honest with you, but to critique, not criticize, keep it.
That's a fact, man. Looking back, man, because you had mad accomplishments, man. I mean, featured on MTV, featured in XXL. I mean, radio play. The list goes on and on and on. $1 million deal on the table, man. $1 million deal on the table. That's when the deals was crazy. Late record label offering you $1 million. What would you say, looking back on all of that, was like one of your proudest moments? Because, I mean, you had a lot of career highlights, but what is something that you look back that's nostalgic for you? Like, damn, I did that. You know what I mean?
I think, I don't know, really, truthfully, I don't think I'm proud of any of that. You know, one day I was with one of my closest friends, you know, we split for a minute, we actually reconnected, became cool, you know. You know, one day I was like, you know, man, I don't know about this music shit, you know. And then that's when I went hard in the deals, even, you know, it was crazy, you know, like that Hot 97 access is cool, like a lot. But, you know, to be honest, I was like, yo, I think I did a lot. He was like, that's what you happy with? You happy with that? Like, we still here, you know? And in my mind, I'm still like, I don't know where I get the friendship from, but, you know, that's my man. I'd have put him on anyway. But, you know, he was right. I don't think I'm proud of any of it. I don't think I did anything deserving. You know, I think to the test, I think I failed. You know, if I was going to be one of the best, regardless of sound like, you know, or not, you know, my job was to be that guy, you know. And you know, I like being able to have that access. Like, you know, Misha, you know, our manager, she says something like, you know, a lot of rappers, they rap because they want to, it's a esteem thing. They want to get into the club. They want to be acknowledged. And a lot of us do it for acknowledgement. And when you get to the bright lights, like, you can't perform. Whether you have the machine behind you or not, like, you know, and it's not like I wasn't nice. Like, nobody could challenge my niceness. You know, it don't matter who's there. And Biggie's the greatest. If Biggie was in front of me, I'd be like, yo, we gonna have this rap on. I mean, we got a whole Junior Mafia, 30 guys. I'd be like, all right, hold up. I got to go to Brownsville. I'll be right back. But, you know, it wouldn't matter. Even if it's Jay-Z himself, like, it doesn't matter. We would go line for line. It doesn't matter. There's no one, except Nas is kind of tricky. Nas, yeah, he's a tricky guy. Like, Nas is the only person I would feel like, I gotta sit down for a couple days, you know, and work it out. But other than that, I really don't see like where I've accomplished something to even feel proud of it. I think in this upcoming set and series of my life, or arc, to call it that, I'll measure it then. A memorable moment I could say though is when I was on the right, when I went to meet 50 in the Rock Mike tour. Was it Sprite Rock Mike tour? No, not Rock Mike tour. What was the Sprite tour they went on?
The Sprite tour. I think Sprite. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 50's a jerk, you know. He's funny. He's a funny guy, not jerk, funny guy. So he was back there, and he's like, yo, you know, all of them was looking at me because, you know, everybody knew who I was, and he really like it. But, you know, me, I'm not the, trust me, I'm not a, I handle my own if need be, but, you know, I'm pretty brave. I'm not scared of a lot, you know. So I went and, you know, we was talking, whatever, and, you know, it was cool, like, yo, great person for that moment. I don't know outside of that, but for the moment, what he is, great person. we was talking, he's like, yo, just keep it up, trust me. Yeah, because we had the same lawyer at the time. And, you know, and it was like, don't show his face, you know, like he had a whole plan in his mind, like, God, you think he steps ahead, you know, he has the right people to kind of make it happen. He's like, yo, don't let him see your face, but yo, keep doing what you're doing. He said, yo, yo, JC, you. He's like, you want to fuck with him? So, you know what you look like, you know who you are. Yeah, he probably saw, you know, and I went out and I saw him perform, and then Jay saw me and I saw him. He looked at each other, and, you know, I mean, Jay's billions of people fucking worry about me, but, you know, he did see, and he was like, and he looked again, he's like, ah, and he's like, you know, like this little motherfucker, you know, not little, but, you know, this guy. So I think that was a very, very pertinent moment in my life, but it made me reflect, like, yo, is this something that I really want? You know, not having a life, raising your child and shit like that. And at that time, I was like, nah, I don't really, really want it. So that was a really, really funny. Clark Kent. Clark Kent would be the most memorable thing I ever remember. And we was in, because, you know, I'm in Brooklyn. So he was on, I don't want to say, but a spot in near Church Ave. And that was a spot. So we met up. So I had my disc, and you know, we played it. He's like, okay, so let me hear something right now. So I'm rhyming. He's like, that shit sounds better than what's on there. I was like, oh, well, I'm freestyling that. He's like, get the fuck out of here. Yeah, I'll never get, like, get the fuck out of here, man. He's like, yo, get the fuck, yo. He's like, yo, all the greats don't freestyle. Yo, you had the, I said, I swear to God. Like, I'm doing this as a, yo. And he was like, yo, you know when somebody looks at you and they're like, get the fuck out of here. So then, you know, I made a song, and I forgot the line. Some part just out there. He had a man, Joel, and I said a line. He's like, yo, he's like, you want to get you? I'm like, well, no, I think I'm by myself here. But, you know, he's like, yo, but I respectfully understood, you know, like, respectfully. He's like, yo, like, he was like, I just want to talk. Like, well, no, it wasn't that type of line, like, where it's, like, beef or something like that. Like, you know what I mean? It was a rap line. It was not like that, because I'm not like that. I'm more like, I prepare for war. I don't start it. You know what I mean? So it was not that. But, you know, and so then he had a beat, and Slade took me up there, and I did a verse on it. And then he gave me, like, the nod, like, that's some cold shit. You know, he was just like, nah, that was a dope verse. You know what I mean? And you know, I'm hoping and assuming in my fantastical thought that he was like, yo, nah, that nigga's real. He called you like, nah, whatever it is, you know, you might want to either keep an eye on this nigga or sign this nigga and shelf him. I don't know what you want to do, but he's authentic as fuck. That's what the vibe was when it came by. Like, you know, it was a respectful thing. And of course, men come from their own spaces, their own eras, or whatever it is. But I'll never, ever, even if I right now, I drop, you know, my records and I become that guy for 10 years, because I'm only doing music for like 10 years. And that's my goal. And boom. And I sell millions of records or billions of streams. That still, to my day, would be, I think I had to earn something for someone who's a purveyor of music, and watching someone that could arguably be the greatest of all time say that about me. You know what I mean? So I'm big on respect. So I'll never forget that. And that funny time we always on Misha's couch and Cudi was there. But that's a personal story. That was funny. But those are backlog stories. But yeah, that Clark Kent and the 50 and the Sprite tour would be memorable. But as far as the original question, nah, I ain't doing that yet. Keyword yet. I ain't doing that.
Of course. Now let me ask you this, man, because I know, like, it's crazy because I always felt like it was kind of like, you know, no pun intended, like the gift and the curse, right? Meaning that, like, the voice that you had was, like, God-given. Like, people used to think, like, yo, he really sound like that? But that was your voice. You know what I'm saying? Like, no lie, that's no cap. It wasn't like you was putting on. That's just how you sounded. So, I guess, and I don't think anybody ever asked you this question before. Do you feel that sounding like Jay-Z, did it help you as much as it hurt you? Because I kind of feel, yeah, because I kind of...
It helped you because people's like, who is that? Here's the problem. I'm nice.
Right.
There's millions of people that sound like millions of people, right? Like, you got millions of people that may sound or mimic a sound with this Ja and DMX or Fab, or everybody may sound like Wayne or FIFO Foreign or like there's millions of people that sound like people, right? And you could be created in a machine, but you have talent. Like you could put together lines that somebody would go 3 weeks later and go, oh shit, I just got what he said. You know what I mean? I think that is what hurt me, you know, the most. I think that really, really that hurt me because it was like, if I was mediocre and decent and from Brooklyn, then it would have been an easy, like, all right, we grab him up, mold him. You know, I remember, you know, I ain't gonna say the DJ name, but made jokes and was like, yo, you can do drops for Jay. And I was like, yeah, all right. You know what I mean? But like being nice, like that was like, that really was the, that was the curse. being like really putting together the lines, like, you know what I mean? When you say some shit that a guy's like, I could have said that, I should have said that. Yeah. You know what I mean? But it's not like, I mean, yeah, it's not good because then, you know, you can't propel your career. And then I'm like, oh, because you sound like this guy. You know what I mean? But then, you know, there are a lot of guys that may sound like a guy, but if they have their own thing and they go their own lane, two things either happen. Either A, you're financially successful and nobody gives a fuck because you're selling millions of records. And they're like, well, you putting food on anybody's table. And I think everybody who raps contributes to hip hop, even if you're trash. We are listening to it, right? What was the girl right? It's the funniest that I ever heard. But I was like, yo, if you put some drums behind that, you know what I mean? Like yo, but that's contributing because it still puts into people listening to a form of art that we all know it is. So you know, yeah, man. Like it's good and it was good and it's bad. It was good and it's bad. Oh, it's got off the screen. Yeah, it's good and it's bad. But Jace, that means that you might have a question. You have.
Yeah. Now who? Okay, you just said that you kind of had your own lane. Now who would you say is like not necessarily your top five, but I would say your favorite five people that influence you as an artist?
Damn, man, I'm trying to get back into the newer culture too. So you're gonna make me look old. To me, truthfully, man, that's an era thing. I mean, but overall, because you know, like I always say, there's rappers, lyricists, entertainers, and for someone to average out like a 10 in all three areas, that's hard, man. But Biggie, of course, I think. What Biggie was doing, I don't think he was the most lyrical guy. Like, if you know. Yo, but the man painted a picture, man. Like, it's just, whatever it was. Some people call it talent, it could be swag. Like, whatever it was, man. But whatever his thing was, Biggie just is there. Then I have Jay. Well, Nas and Jay interchangeably. I mean, if there's no order, it's Biggie, Jay-Z, and Nas. That's just factual. My last two, right? Big Pun is in there. And that show the rap I like. But that last spot is so hard because you got Rakim, you have Cool G Rap, you have Big L, you got old Eminem, you got Cole. J. Cole, you got. I love Drake, man. I don't know, man. That fifth spot is so hard, man. It has to be 10. But out of those guys, like Andre 3000, like there's guys in there that I'm just like, yo, you know, or Styles P, like you heard. Like, you know, like even like Styles, like, you know, I think my line that I just, you know, and the gun is only helping the clip, and the clip is only helping the hand. So, like, who the fuck is helping your man? Like, in your lifetime, you're like, yo, that is an honest statement. You know what I mean? Like, if I have this and this is helping this, who's going to help him? And you're like, yo, weird. Why is nobody saying that? You know, and of course, you got, you know, Kiss, you know, Jeezy. No, actually, I like Luda. I like Luda, like Jesus, like Tia. Like, it's a lot of guys to be like, you know, Young Thug before he got like Mace. It's a lot of guys to put in that fifth spot. So my top four of those guys in that era, and I think that would, even if, you know, because Pun and Big isn't here, like Jay-Z and Nas can still, you know, with the best of them hold their own, whether the machine is behind them or not. You know, I think people are still looking for a diehard Jay-Z verse, like they're grabbing onto anything, you know, but Jay-Z's like, yeah, I'll give you a couple. I'm not really gonna bust my brain. I'll give you a couple. I've cemented myself so much. Like it's like Jordan with LeBron's body. Like, like, right. You know what I mean? Like, it's like the guy is timeless. So, you know, it's like, you know, how do you, Drake is the only person I see substantially with a period of time to do records, have stuff that you want to listen to. I don't know about that last album. I mean, personally, Drake, so I like it because it's Drake, but I like Drake, but I don't know about the last one. But, you know, like, you know, Drake is the only person close enough to Jay-Z to be like, I don't have to do a versus in a sense where I have records that are so concrete currently, and I don't have to put too much behind it if I don't want to, and it's a dope record. Like, so, you know, that my great five would be those four unarguably, and the other five still arguably, I think any one of those people that I mentioned, and whoever else of a guy, you know, outside of myself, of course, you know. Yeah, I don't know, man. It'd have to be a top 20 or 25. Then we have a list. The top 25, we have a list. But five, man, hip hop is too old to have five general, especially given like context and music and content, catalog, body of work, freestyles, features, tours, like 50 and 50. Like, you know, I think there's only, well, in music for African Americans, only like 10 people that have gone diamond. 50's one of them. I think him, Mike, Prince, like not a lot of people go diamond. Like to sell 10 million records, yo, like, do you know what I mean? Who else? Stevie, I think, did it. And I mean for a complete album, not just like one record. Like you had songs, and so that's a lot, man. So yeah, it had to be a top 25, and it had to, like, Nelly, I like Nelly. You know what I mean? I like Migos. I like J.I.D. Like, there's a lot of guys where I'm like, FIFO. G Herbo, and who else? I just started kind of getting to. Even Freddie Gibbs. I'm like, okay, you mean Benny? Like, there's a lot of guys where you're like, music is not bad. To where you be like, all right, it's like, you had a moment where, I'm not gonna lie, Laffy Taffy threw me off, but then, you know, I'm like, hey, hello. I'm like, yeah, all right, we're back. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's tough because, you know, some people, some joints, you're like, all right, you know, thank God you getting that money off those BDSs, boy, but, you know, but, and now the streams, but, you know, top five, it's hard. Top 25. Top 25, then we could kind of talk. Especially if something happens, I get projected, I don't want niggas back, I can't do a song with you. You saw that Diagnosis of Success fucking cast.
Yo, let me ask you this, man. All right, who's the top five producers that you've worked with in your career? Like some of the cats that, like, really dope cats that produce records for you.
Nah, I'm afraid I should say that because I think some of them are still working. I don't want them to get hurt. Next question.
Ghost production.
Next. One of them is really, 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 really famous. I'll say that. Really famous and very controversial, but really famous. You know, I got a beat from them. And they were like, it's like, yeah. I was like, yeah, but you're doing this despite this, man. This is different. You know, but I'll leave that. That's a story to tell in a documentary when that beat came through. And we were like, word? From you? Okay. You know, and when it came in the email, we was like, you know, me and me looked at, like, that's from who it is? And the beat wasn't that great. It was like 2-3 beat, but I know it was to kind of feel me out. And, you know, of course, I fucking put that beat in the cemetery. Like, it was graveyard. Like, you know, I took my time with that. I was like, nah, that verse is, you know, too much wordplay. Gotta dumb it down. You know, I had the right amount of wordplay and the right amount of, like, this is just right. You know, the third bit was just right. But yeah, they gave me a beat, man. And you know, and they're very relevant today. Very
relevant. I'll say that. Fire. Now, there's been a lot of talk recently. I know DaBaby was saying that he feels that he was blackballed. And I know Russ had came out. Russ publicly denounced that. He says, yo, I don't feel that people get blackballed. I just feel either people fuck with your music or they don't. Do you feel that you were blackballed?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it directly and indirectly, right? Like, for those that directly wanted to do it, they're like, you could. But, and you know, you have to understand, this is the livelihood. Some people are just corny. And some people, it's their livelihood. You respect that. Like, that's how they put me on the table. For some people, you know, they just want to, you know, ride the wave. And, you know, so I think yeah, definitely. There was, like, blackballing does happen. Let's be realistic. But, yeah, I definitely was. And I think some people also too off the merit of just being, like, worrying about it. You know, it's funny because I think I was watching $1 Million Worth of Game, and you know, he was like, you know, and Cam was saying like, oh, you know, like Jay don't fuck with you, so I don't want to piss you. Like Jay don't even know you, like, you know what I mean? And again, you know, when you, if you the man, you the man of ours, so you can't, you know, that's what people gonna do. So I think they're like, yeah, nah, like, nah, nah. I remember one time even some people from Bad Boy brought it to Puff, and but that's, you know what, that's a different story. Let me leave that alone too. Like, you know, it's just. And I get it. It's a loyalty to, not a fault, but like, you know, just for security, a loyalty for security. So just in case you don't want to let that relationship get hindered, that could help you. You don't burn that political bridge. There's a lot of politics, man. So I understood it. But yeah, there was, you can get blackballed, but at the same time, you know, people may not fuck with you because of that. And if a certain person of a caliber don't fuck with you, isn't that blackballing? Right? So if I'm running, well, not 300, if I run Interscope or I run Atlantic, and I'm like, and you know, and I'm the, you know, at an A&R, and I'm like, I don't really know. Do you think anybody else under me? I mean, somebody might take the risk, but again, if you know, music is very ACS CPSable, right? Yeah, you know, like shit can happen, but if a kid dies, there's no, it's like extreme measures. You fail, that's it. People only remember you off your last case, you know, unless you've done that much great things where they could kind of look at the scope of little things here and there. But with music, I think people were really worried about burning that possible relationship. And I get it, you know, like, hey, you get a Jay verse or Jay OK gives you a nod or like shows up at your event. You know, and Jay has learned to master his and like Jordan, like his brand. So I don't want to make this about Jay-Z, but I understand in blackball because of Jay-Z. Yeah, that's you know, but do him himself personally? Maybe. I mean, I don't know. I mean, if I were him and me, I mean, if I was looking at Jay, I would sound, Jay would probably do, you know, something small and slight and slick, like, yeah, no, you know, and not taking that meeting. I think was like, you know, kind of was like, fuck that. Like, okay, well, either you're making it or you are making it, we're gonna go at it, which, you know, which would have been fine. It would have been great for music had I had some songwriting potential, which I have now. It took years to master. But that would have probably came with a development team to kind of guide me on how to. I mean, I wasn't gonna learn to write, maybe some hooks, but not my verses. I think you should have that because one, for ownership, publishing, and writing. But I think that you probably was like, nah. And people are like, all right, you say no, you're the boss, and that's that. Ended that.
All right, man. Well, I mean, this was fire, man. So, yo, tell the people what's on the horizon, man. What you got cooking up? I know you mentioned the projects briefly, but tell them, like, when should they expect them? What's the names of them? If they want to connect with you on social media, like, how can they reach out to you? Like, tell them the whole gamut.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? I might switch up the name, too. I'm thinking there's a lot of marketing things happening. I mean, it'll be interesting. I mean, the Instagram, I only have Instagram, one streaming source. I mean, I might do Twitter. Like, you know, I don't know. But Angelus Wonder, A-N-G-E-L-O-U-S, Wonder, W-O-N-D-E-R. And I don't want to do the finesse, like A is for Apple, but A-N-G-E-L-O-U-S-W-O-N-D-E-R. You know, as my Instagram, the projects I'm doing, the red pill, blue pill, and the black pill, the black pill, will give you some nostalgia, hip hop. It's kind of like past, present, future. You know, the blue pill, has a lot of mainstream music, and the red pill has a lot of relationship, Drakey vibe kind of music in a sense. I'm aiming for December to release one song from each project, maybe January. I'm aiming for either one of those to release one song with like a video and a visual, video visuals for each one of them. That's what makes it a little difficult, because for each one of them. So the way that I want to kind of do it is, splice each song, give you a verse from each song. Even though it's two verses per song, but it'll be three because it's each pill, very different. So I'm working with different people for different creative content. And just go from there, and we'll see how the public receives it. Either way, I'm still going to drop all three. I'm kind of looking at May or June, depending the feedback. Depending on how it goes. March maybe the super earliest, but not May, June of 2023. And everything. I'm gonna change up a lot. Some things, have a little bit of marketing and things to go on. So expect that very, 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 very soon. And I think the reception will be great. I didn't want to, for people that didn't know, to have one concept of me. And I didn't want to lose the base of people that, know my work, mixtape work, not my album work, because I have a lot of mixtapes, to see me in a different lens, but not to go too far off from what they know. So it's going to be growth. A lot of it may not be exactly, Angelus that they would want to know, but I'm growing as an artist. And that's a spizzy line. So Fox line, you got to grow and look at different things. And we're going to just touch different things, but it'll all be quality. It'll all be quality. It won't be rushed. It took some years. It took some time. And then from there, I'm just going to keep consistent with the music. Like I said, I'm going to do music for like a good 10 years. I think, so I'm gonna be on people, radar for myself and for my family and for the few and the brave that's been around all this time. So that's what's coming up and that's what's gonna happen. And then I think I'm only gonna do some DS interviews only to keep it exclusive. So therefore you guys only have the content when they're looking for like, damn, I need to know archives. I'm probably not gonna show a lot of visuals of myself, so this will be just it. And so only for the family.
Fire, man.
Nice. Nah, man, we appreciate you taking out the time, man. We can't wait to hear that new music.
Oh yeah, of course. Actually, you know what, I was thinking about it, but I'm more than likely might do, I still might drop one freestyle to kind of, I think I'm gonna full circle it. I think, I'll start off with a freestyle, a mixtape joint, make it kind of songy, couple bars. I'm probably gonna call it the pre-appetizer. As a matter of fact, you're doing it right now. They were a pre-appetizer to a beat. I'll drop it probably in like 2-3 weeks. If I get a visual for it, then dope. And I'll do that. And then maybe a month after that, 2 months after that, I'll drop the music. So yeah, I'll do the freestyle. Yeah, that's a good idea. So freestyle will be out in 3 weeks.
Yeah, I heard him. And once again, my favorite day of the week, Sing Music Mondays. Make sure y'all tune in next week. We out.